unbelief. There are many unbelieving believers because their hearts are wild. Unbelief. Unbelief and disobedience, they are two things that can cancel purpose. Even sin will not cancel purpose. But unbelief, disobedience, it can cancel purpose. This very tree that God says that the day you will eat of it, you will die. So anytime you see the tree, your heart is keeping the beat. It is that same tree that will bring you down. We are all not on the same path of destiny. Everybody and the pipes he will go through before he comes out as a finished product. Your pipes are different from my pipes. Don't compare your pipes to my pipes. Because what I'm going through is not what you are going through. So focus on your life and don't allow things to bump you down. Move on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated. We thank God for another day. And even as we are going to listen to God's word, I want you to prepare your hearts, open your hearts. We thank God for everybody. And it's a pleasure to see everybody again. Maybe today is your first time and you are not really used to our services. Here we it's a family, so we have fellowship, and whatever we do, the foundation is that we are all family. Yeah, so. Father, we thank you for this morning, for this opportunity. We pray that even as your word is coming, you will help us, Lord, to open our hearts to receive your word. Help us to be attentive to your word. Let our hearts be receptive to your word. We pray that our lives will be changed. But Father, will get hooked onto your purpose and your plan for our lives. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Last week we talked about the heart. And last week the topic was guard your heart. And this morning I just want to continue what I started last week. And so I'm talking about the preparations of the heart of man. The preparations of the heart of man. And I'm reading from Proverbs chapter 16, verse 1. It says, "The preparations of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord." The preparations of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Now, the Bible is telling us that the responsibility of preparing our hearts or working on our hearts, that responsibility is ours. And then he's also connecting our hearts to prayer. As a matter of fact, our hearts is connected to our prayers. There's a relationship between the heart and the mouth, the tongue, or the lips in the Bible. And it is so amazing that in most places where you find heart, you are likely to find mouth, lips, or tongue, either in the same verse or in the next 1, 2, 3 verses. You see that the Bible talks about heart and we talk about tongue. It's because our hearts are altars before God. And our hearts speak In the eyes of God, God listens to our hearts as much as He listens to our words. In fact, our hearts speak louder in heaven than our lips. So the Bible says He's able to do exceedingly abundantly, far above all that we ask or think, all that we ask or imagine. Which means that God not only answers our prayers, the prayers that come out of our mouth or our lips, He also responds to the prayers that come out of our hearts. So there's a connection between our hearts and our prayers. That's why here He linked, He said, the preparation of the heart of man belongs to man, but the answer of the tongue comes from God. So He's linking our hearts and our prayers. Now, last week, we saw that we must guard our hearts with all diligence or with all carefulness, because the issues of our life, they spring out of our heart. Everything that will affect your life must first of all affect your heart. Anything that alters the state of your heart can alter the state of your life. It's as simple as that. The state of our heart can affect the outcome of our prayers. That is why we need to prepare our heart, because your heart will affect your prayer. Bible says in Psalm 66 verse 18, said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So there's a link between our hearts and our prayers. God told Ezekiel in Ezekiel 14 verse 3, He said, these men have come before you to inquire of you from me. And He said, should I allow myself to be inquired of by them? He said, because as they sit before you, they have set up idols in their hearts. And then God said, I am going to answer them according to the motives of idols in their heart. So the state of your heart will affect the state of your prayer or the outcome of your prayer. That is why we must prepare our heart or learn how to prepare our heart. And we must know that the responsibility is not God's. It is ours. It is our duty to prepare our hearts. That is man's duty, not God's duty. So, let's take note of that. Then, the state of our heart will determine the things we attract. The things that come into our lives, they are attracted by the state of our hearts. The things you will attract, the people you will attract, is dependent on the state of your heart. That is why last week I said that there is nothing like I married somebody by mistake. Because the person you will attract is the person who is the exact reflection of your heart. Currently, or at the time you were making the choice, the state of your heart will determine the person that you will attract into your life. That is why we have to prepare our heart. If the state of our heart will determine, or the things that will come into our lives are determined by the state of our heart, then we need to prepare our heart very well, so that we can attract good things into our lives. Hallelujah. Now, the state of your heart will be seen in your actions and your words. The state of your heart will be seen in your words and in your actions. In Matthew 12:34, Jesus Christ told us something about the heart. In Matthew 12:34, He said, brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. 35, a good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth evil things. So, our heart will reflect in our actions and our words. That is why, if you want to know what is in somebody's heart, you will know by what the person does. Because we don't know what is in anybody's heart. Only God knows. In fact, only two people know what is in your heart, yourself and God. But for us to know, we will see through your actions and through your words. There is no art to find the mind's construction on the face, as William Shakespeare said. But in actions and words, you can see somebody's heart. And you can know what is in the person's heart. You see, if your heart is in a state of brokenness, it will manifest through your words. If your heart is in a sorrowful state, it will be seen through your actions and your words. You will speak words that will let us know that you are in a sorrowful state. So the heart will always betray you. Your heart, the innermost recesses of your being, will always betray you, because it will reflect in the things you say and the things you do. Your destiny will be affected by your heart. Your destiny will be affected by your heart. So it is very important that we learn how to prepare our hearts, how to take care of our heart, that we mind our heart. Because your destiny, where you will end finally, in the scheme of things, whether you are going to end as God purposed you to end or not, is dependent on your heart. You see, sometimes we all believe that God is sovereign, but when it comes to issues of destiny, God determines things. God has ordained certain things for your life, but you have the choice and the right to either bypass what God has determined for you and end up in the way that you want. And it's all dependent on the heart. So it's very important. The reason why Judas could not make it to the end was the heart. He had a place, he had an allotment in the apostles. Bible said he had a place, an office. But because of his heart, his destiny was not good. He didn't end well. All because Satan entered his heart. Bible says, and when Jesus gave him the sap, Satan entered into his heart. Then he went out to betray Jesus. So, if that is the case, then it is no wonder, it is not surprising that the Bible says, out of our hearts spring all the issues of life. Everything about life springs from the heart. About destiny springs from the heart. About whether we will make it or not springs from the heart. If that's the case, then we must know and we must take seriously everything that has got to do with the heart, and know how to prepare our heart, how to preserve our heart, how to guard our heart. Because the devil will seek to get your heart. Because once he gets your heart, he has gotten hold of your destiny. Because your heart controls your destiny. In fact, your heart will determine your final destination. And so the devil will try to get hold of your heart so that he can get hold of your destiny. We are going to go into the Bible. Then we are going to look at certain types of hearts, and then how we can also prepare our heart. Come to Luke chapter 8, verse 4 to 8. Luke 8, 4 to 8. Jesus Christ gave this parable, which we usually call the parable of the sower. But this one is also the parable of the soil, the different kinds of soils. Luke 8, verse 5. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, and sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Which means that this parable is so fundamental that he said that if you want to hear, hear. If you have ears to hear, it means if your mind is conditioned to understand, then you will hear. Elsewhere, he told the disciples that, the disciples asked him, he said, "Explain to us the parable of the sower." And he said, "If you don't understand this parable, then how can you understand all other parables?" Which means that this parable is fundamental because it deals with the heart. It is fundamental to our Christian lives, to our lives as individuals, because it deals with the heart. And everything, anything that deals with the heart is fundamental, because the heart is a central part of your being. The heart is a core, the inner core, core of your being. Now, in this parable, we can identify four different kinds of hearts that we can identify. And out of these four, we also get to know the diseases of the heart, because we need to know the disease of the heart, and then we need to know how to get healing from those diseases. But the four different kinds of heart, the first kind of heart is a wild heart. Wild, it is wild. Wild heart. The one that fell by the wayside. You see, the wayside was not fenced. The wayside was exposed. The wayside was not cared for. It is soil or a piece of ground that is not cared for, that is not protected, that is not fenced. Everybody, anybody at all can have access to it. Now, that is why I call it a wild heart. A heart that is uncared for. A heart that is unattended to. A heart that has been left on its own. It has been left on its own. Nothing has touched it. God has not touched that heart. God, when I say God has not touched that heart, I'm not saying the person is not born again. The person may be born again, but he has not come to a place where God has done a work in his heart. And so when the seed falls on the heart, that seed can be stolen. That seed can be the word of God. That seed can be the word of prophecy. It can be the word of promise. God's word of prophecy can fall on your heart, fall on your destiny, but it will not penetrate because you have a wild heart. You have not allowed God to do a work on your heart. God's word of promise can fall on your heart, but it will not penetrate because God has not worked on your heart yet. The distance between us and the promise of God is our heart. The distance between us and God's promise is our heart. The barrier between us and God's promise is our heart. Whenever God gives you a promise, God goes to work. Work on your heart. Prepare you for what he has prepared for you. He gives you a promise, then he starts a work in your heart so that you will qualify for the promise and you will get to a point where you can inherit the promise. And that work and how you allow God and cooperate with him is the time that elapsed between his promise and the fulfillment of his promise. Because when God has not finished working on your heart, he will not release the promise. So he will give you the promise, then prepare your heart. Now, a wild heart is a hard heart. Hard heart. One of the diseases of a wild heart is hardness of heart. Somebody whose heart is hardened. Hardened. And come to Hebrews 3:13. Hardness of heart. When your heart is hardened, it means God cannot break through. God cannot penetrate your heart. So God's word will fall on your heart, will fall on your life, but it will not have the time, it will not have the right or the permission to grow. Hebrews 3 verse 13, it says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. What brings about a hardened heart is sin. When a believer persists in a life that is contrary to God's standards, what is happening is that his heart is developing hardness. His heart is being hardened. And so the hardness of heart comes through deceitfulness of sin. Sin is deceitful. So when you live in sin, when a believer lives in sin, it gets to a point where he's deceived. And his heart becomes hardened. That there's no further way that God can do on the heart. Because the person is deceived. Once you live in deception, God cannot do what he wants to do in your life. God's destiny for your life will not materialize or manifest because you are living in deception. Your heart has been hardened through sin. And because you are living a life of sin, your heart is hardened and your heart is closed to God. Closed. C-L-O-S-E-D, closed to God. Come to 1 Timothy 4:2. Let me show you something. These are some of the diseases of the heart. 1 Timothy 4:2. Verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Now he says some people are going to depart from the faith in latter times, and we are in latter times. And he said they will give heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Why? Because their conscience will be seared with hot iron. Do you know that if you start drinking hot tea, a time comes when you can drink hot tea. The more hot you are, the more you take in hot tea or hot liquid or hot substance, a time comes where your taste buds and the sensitivity in your mouth will die. So you come to a point where you can drink something hot and you don't even feel it. That is what sin does to the heart of the believer. That is why the believer must always maintain a tender conscience. A conscience that is tender. That is how you can even hear God's voice. When you maintain a tender and a clean conscience, when you live in a life of sin, what happens is that your heart is hardened and your conscience is seared. It gets to a point, nothing pricks you anymore. It's like this. Let's say you go to live in an area where there is a public toilet. As soon as you get to that place, you say, something is smelling here. But when you live in that area for a long time, a time comes, people come and tell you, don't you smell anything? Say, oh, no, I don't smell. Why? Because you have become used to. And that is how our hearts get hardened as believers. That is why to maintain a tender conscience, you must be mindful of sin. Whatever God says, whatever you do that your heart pricks you, you must take note of it. Because the voice of your spirit is your conscience. And the conscience is the voice of your heart. Last week I said that the conscience is in the heart. You see, the heart and the spirit, the heart, the spirit and the soul, they are joined, and their point of connection, that's where the heart is. And so there's a part of the spirit that enters into the heart, and that's the conscience part. That is why Bible says David's heart smote him when he caught Saul's rope. So a believer must always make sure that he maintains tender conscience. And that comes by acknowledging when you miss it, and then making the necessary taking the necessary steps to make sure there's reconciliation. Otherwise, you will get to a point where you will not care anymore. You will do something and it will not prick your conscience anymore. And you are on your way to hardness of heart. He said, your heart will be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Now, the second state of a wild heart is unbelief. Unbelief. There are many unbelieving believers because their hearts are wild. People who don't believe, they cannot have faith because their hearts are wild hearts. Come to Mark 16 verse 14. Mark 16, 14. Later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Unbelief is something that can also prevent us from entering into God's best. Unbelief. Because anything that God tells you must be mixed with faith. Hebrews 4 says that those who heard the Old Testament people, they had the gospel preached to them as we have also had it preached to us. But it did not profit them because it did not mix it with faith. So unbelief will make your heart hard. One of the signs of a wild heart is unbelief. There are some Christians, they don't believe anything. They don't believe anything supernatural. When you talk about a dream, they don't believe it. Somebody says, I've seen Jesus. They say, they don't believe it. Jesus Christ rebuked the disciples who did not believe those who said they had seen him. That's what we read. They didn't believe those who came to say, we have seen Jesus. And he rebuked them. Well, if your heart is so hard, you cannot believe these things. Well, because you have not seen Jesus before, if somebody says, oh, all those things, they are lies, it's not true. Somebody died and came back and said, I went to heaven. Then pastors were saying that this guy, it was some malaria, you know, some coma that he went into, and you know. But the thing that guy was saying was in line with scripture. It wasn't one of those people who come and say that I went to heaven and, you know, and God said that all the women who don't cover their heads, you are going to hell. No, some people come back from heaven and they preach their church's doctrine. Yeah. And somebody will come back from heaven, will have an experience, then she will come back, then she will start preaching, trying to use her experience to validate her church's doctrine, not what the Bible says. Because if you come back and say that God says all the women who don't cover their heads, they are going to hell. Or all women in short skirt, if your skirt is not doesn't go beyond your knee, you are going to hell. Those things are not that is not true. But unbelief is something that is very, very, very serious. Christians who don't believe things. What God has said in your life, you don't believe it. You see, you are the only person who can prevent what God has said in your life from coming to pass. And unbelief is one of the ways that you use to prevent what God has said from coming to your life. Let me tell you something. Unbelief and disobedience, they are two things that can cancel purpose. Even sin will not cancel purpose. But unbelief, disobedience, it can cancel purpose. If God has said, this is my plan for your life, I will do this, I will do that, and you don't believe it, it won't come to pass. And you disobey, God says, stay here, do this, and gives you instruction, and you disobey, it won't come to pass. So unbelief is very, very bad and very dangerous for the believer. Now, the third one is disappointment. Disappointment is one of the diseases of a wild heart. Disappointment. Proverbs 13 verse 12. Proverbs 13 verse 12. Disappointment can make your heart wild. So you come to a point where you don't believe anything. You come to a point where you don't care for anything. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when a desire comes, it is a tree of life. So we must know how to manage expectation. Otherwise, disappointment can set in your life. And then when disappointment comes, unbelief can result from disappointment. And then hardness of heart. There are many people, because of disappointment, they don't believe anything anymore. Because they really believe God for something that didn't come. So that has dealt a blow to their faith. And if you don't take care, you will live in unbelief and hardness of heart and miss God's blessing. The fact that one thing that maybe God said in your life has not come to pass doesn't mean it won't come to pass. The fact that God, you heard clearly and God said 20 feet, 12th or 12th of June, I'm going to do this and it didn't come to pass. Don't think God has appointed you. Maybe you didn't hear, maybe it wasn't 12th June 2016. Or maybe you had 12th June, but it could have been 12th July. Don't give up and blame yourself and allow disappointment to make your heart hard. Your heart hard. Hallelujah. Because disappointment can produce hardness of heart. There was this story I heard of this sister who has been disappointed by many brothers. Many of them, they will come and say, I will marry you, then well dodge. I'll marry you, well dodge. Then this brother came and said, sister, I want to marry you. He said, brah, yemodria. Yemodria. So disappointment can produce a wild heart. It can make your heart wild and barren, so that your heart cannot receive anymore because of past disappointment. We need to know how to handle disappointment. You must release your disappointment and give it all to God. There's a point you get to in life, you must close the door. You must close certain doors and decide not to visit any issues in your life. Otherwise, you allow your past to prevent your future from happening. And your heart will become wild. So the word will come, prophecy will come, everything will come. There are some Christians, they have received all kinds of impartation, but no fruit to show. All kinds of hands have been laid on them, but no fruit. Nothing is happening. Why? It may be because they have a wild heart. And I'm showing you how our hearts become wild. One of them is through deceitfulness of sin. Number two, unbelief. Number three, disappointment. Number four, a broken spirit. A broken spirit. A broken spirit will also lead to a wild heart. What is a broken spirit? You see, you can go through an issue in life that will change, that will result into a major character defect. That is a broken spirit. That can also prevent God's word from taking root. It can prevent God's prophetic word from taking root in your life because your spirit is broken. There are people who go through abuse in their life, and because they go through abuse, they have a major character defect. And the abuse has broken their spirit, so they cannot relate normally to people and even to God. It could be sexual abuse, it could be verbal abuse, it could be physical abuse. Because of that, the person cannot relate well with God. Somebody who has been abused by a man, if she doesn't take care, it can even affect how she sees God. Somebody who has suffered verbal abuse for a long time, if you don't take care, even believing God becomes a problem. Because you have lived with verbal abuse and your spirit man has been broken. You have come to a point where you see yourself as worthless, not worth anything. So when God expresses love, you are in doubt. You doubt God's love for your life, and you doubt his faithfulness. You doubt his ability, and you doubt his sincerity and his honesty. Why? Because your spirit is broken. Proverbs 17 verse 22 talks about a broken spirit. It says, a merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. When your spirit is broken, it can even affect your physical health. That is why people who go through traumatic experience, they need the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Otherwise, that experience can even affect the physical health of the person. He says, a broken spirit dries the bones. People can develop rheumatism, develop weakness in the body, develop cancer, many things because of a broken spirit. It's not every sickness that is physical. Some are physical, some are spiritual, some are psychosomatic. Psychosomatic diseases are diseases that come as a result of the state of the mind, the effect of the mind on the body. That is why when you are dealing with people, you must take time, be patient with people. You don't know what they've been through. Everybody you meet in life is like a whole book. You've got to go to chapter 1. Find out what happened in a person's life. Because maybe the person's spirit is broken. That is why he is in that character defect. I know somebody who was abused, and she ended up being promiscuous. Just because, and she was innocent, she was abused, and then she ended up being promiscuous. It took the intervention of one godly woman who had a dream and saw that this person had died of AIDS and started praying for her and called her and then gave her the word of God. Now she's married to a pastor. Why? If the person had not intervened, if God had not used somebody to intervene, she would have died of AIDS. Because she was just moving from one man to the other, and in fact, her natural father drove her out of the house. And he didn't know the cause of all that, because he was a man of God, and he could not stand to see how his daughter was moving from one man to the other. But the cause of that problem was because of what happened when she was about 10 to 11 years old. When somebody tampered with her and her spirit was broken. Many people who are into lesbianism, it's because they are rebelling against a male authority figure. Some people are in homosexuality because they are rebelling against a female authority figure. So to help such people, we must resolve spiritual and personal conflict. People are behaving the way they are behaving because they have been raped before. Raped. So not all people are, not all of us have the same opportunities in life. That is why as a believer, your heart must be open. And you must not begin to condemn people just because they are doing this or doing that. You don't know what has caused it. Because if your heart is altered, your state, your everything will change. Such ones, they need God to release the spirit of comfort into their hearts. And they need to also release people from their heart. They need to forgive people who have abused them, who have used them, who have maltreated them. Forgive them from their heart before they can be free. So you find that the person is a believer, but because of all these things, the word of God cannot profit the person. The word of God will come, it cannot penetrate. Sometimes it can't even stay. Sometimes you wonder why you can't even remember some scriptures. You dream and you forget. Sometimes it's because of issues of the heart you have not dealt with. Sometimes your heart can be wild, can be so hardened. You can dream, you will not remember your dreams. Your dream life will not be consistent. It's like anytime you dream, you wake up, then it's gone. It can't stay. When you hear God's word, it cannot stay. The word of God cannot sink deep. Why? Because of the heart. And you need to take your heart to God and tell God, heal my heart. Heal my heart of hardness, of unbelief, of disappointment, and of brokenness. Heal my heart. Then you will see that when God does the work in your heart, you will see that now you are receptive to the word of God. Otherwise, we will lay hands on you, we will prophesy on you. You will see that your life is just going in circles. You are speeding in the wrong direction. Okay. Second type of heart is a heart with a faulty foundation. The heart with a faulty foundation. In other words, a heart with iniquity. Let me explain what iniquity is. Iniquity is that which produces sinful acts. Sometimes people see the sinful acts and want to deal with the sinful acts. No, you must deal with iniquity. It is iniquity that will prevent God from answering your prayers. What is iniquity? Iniquity refers to sins in your bloodline that you have not dealt with. Issues in your bloodline that you think because you are born again, they have no power over you, and yet they are controlling you. Because you don't know how to deal with it. When you become born again, you are given the power to deal with certain things. There are certain things which automatically will change. There are other things you must deal with them. You must remove them. You must put them in. Come to Exodus 20 verse 5. me explain this thing very well, so that you will know the difference between things that you get automatically by being born again, and things that you have the right to change and the power to change. For instance, when you become born again, your spirit man is created, recreated instantly. It's recreated. But your heart, your mind, there is a potential for a new heart and a new mind. But you must put it on. So the Bible says in Ephesians 4 verse 20 to 24, it said, be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man. Colossians 3, 9 to 11. It said, put on the old man and put on the new man. You have to put it on. Which means you must activate it. The potential is there, but it's not automatic. Now, come to Exodus 20, verse 5. You shall not bow down to nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. Now listen, we are not going back to the law. God did not say he will visit the punishment of the fathers on the children. He says he will visit the iniquity of the fathers to the fourth generation, which means that iniquity, there are certain sins and weaknesses in the fathers that have the permission to travel from one generation to another generation. God has given them permission. So iniquity is not punishment. Iniquity is sin. It's an evil act. And he's saying that he will visit the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the fourth generation, which means that, and here he was talking about idol worship, which means that there are traits in our families that can be transferred from one generation to the other. That is why if you come from a polygamous family, you must know that there's a potential for polygamy in your bloodline. And not until you get to a point where you are about to experience your breakthrough, these things will not rear their heads. But when you get to that point, you will see these things beginning to rear their heads, and you must deal with them. They are like rocks beneath the soil. They are not seen. Idol worship. If you come from a family of idol worshippers, just being born again and saying, Lord Jesus, I take you as my Lord, that will not deliver you from the trait. The trait will be there. But you are in a position to be able to overcome and deal with it. That is why there are some believers who will go to a point, they will get to a point, having been in the things of God for a long time, when they are about to cross over to another level, then you will see some issues cropping up in their lives. There's somebody who said that his father was married to many women, and he started experiencing the threat of divorce in his marriage. And then he said he went to God, and God said, look, even if you divorce, I will use you, and because I determined to use you before you were born. But know that if you don't deal with this thing called divorce in your life, your children will come and fight it. It will fight your children, and because it has a permission to travel from generation to generation. It is a curse, and you must deal with it. And everybody in your family, you will see certain things that are traits. Then you must deal with it. Otherwise, you will come and add to the number, and you will think that God has not helped you. But God will heap all the prophecies on you, all the promises on you. But because there is a rock beneath the surface, the word of God cannot penetrate and do a work. This person is a pastor, and eventually he had a divorce. And added to the number, his siblings, many of them were in divorce. Yeah. So some of these things, it's not about, people say that, oh, once I'm born again, all things have become new. All things are past. Your mind was not new.
Your mind didn't become new when you became born again. You have the same old mind. Your body was not made anew. You have the same body which sometimes want to sin. You have the same thoughts that used to come to your mind. The same thoughts will come into your mind. So being born again does not absolve you. Does not steal you from the curses. You must, now you are in a position to be able to deal with those things. And you must begin to pray and deal with those things. You see those patterns in your life. I have seen men of God who got to their 50s and above and became drunkards. They fell into drunkenness. All because of rocks beneath. Things they didn't deal with. So iniquity is not sin. Iniquity gives birth to sin. And the iniquity is that idolatry that is in your heart. That was passed on from previous generations to your generation. That tendency, that want to, that edge, that potential. You see, there are some people, they come from polygamous background. Their father couldn't stay with one woman. He had to marry many women. Now, it may be a trait in the bloodline. You are born again. But know that the potential, that thing has the permission to transfer from one generation to the other unless you stop it. So they will get married because they are Christians, they are born again, they will get married and they will not even think of maybe marrying another wife, but they will also be having other concubines. That is polygamy in disguise. The basic thing is that you can't live with one wife. That somebody I told the person, I said, look, this and this that you are experiencing, if you don't take care, you will marry and still go after that woman. It happened exactly as I said. Because sometimes we brush certain things, we sweep them under the carpet, and we think we've dealt with them. We have not dealt with it. You have only swept it under the carpet. And you have, the fact that you ignore something doesn't mean that the thing will go automatically. You must rise up to it, see that it's a problem, and deal with it. Otherwise, you'll be a Christian, you'll be a minister, you'll go and rise, get to a point, and that thing can still bring you down. When God wants to bless you, when there's a promise of God on your life, and you are about hitting the place where the promise of God will manifest, you will see these issues rearing their heads. Why? Because it is time for the glory to be manifested. And they will try to stop you. But when you see the traits, that is when, because you are born again, you have the power and the right to deal with it. Otherwise, it will become a work, a rock beneath, a heart with faulty foundation. There are some curses. You must deal with them. There are some of them that have broken over your life. Some of them you must deal with them. That is why you have Christians who are still experiencing sexual dreams and people come and sleep with them and leave diseases and other things. Are they not Christians? They are Christians. Why are they experiencing that? They have not dealt with it. So it's not automatic that once you are born again, those things cannot come to your life. You must know them and deal with them. That is when you are removing the rocks. Otherwise, the word of God cannot have penetration. Some of them are weaknesses that we see in our lives. We must know that the same weakness that you see in your life, that you are threatened with, is the same thing that will bring you down. I mean, you must put it in your mind that this very thing that anytime I see, my heart skips a beat. That very thing is what will bring me down. This very tree that God says that the day you will eat of it, you will die. So anytime you see the tree, your heart is skipping a bit. It is that same tree that will bring you down. So you better start dealing with it now and make sure that the thing is dead grass, so that when you get where God wants to get to, that thing cannot bring you down. Otherwise, when you get to a certain height, you will see these things pulling you down. So your life is just like you take 2 steps forward, you take 3 steps backwards. You see, as you go on in life, then you begin to understand that there are certain things that they don't just happen by chance. That is, you see, God has a promise of, let's say, prosperity on your life. You have come. You are born again. But if you don't deal with it, maybe in a family, they prosper up to a certain point. So when you get to that point, you see that things will begin to hit you from left, right, center. Till you recognize the problem and then you deal with it from the root. Then you see that you are free. Then you see that generations to come, they will all be free. Hallelujah. The third kind of heart that will prevent us is a poisoned heart. That's the ground that had thorns and thistles. It's a poisonous ground, a poisoned heart. The heart that has been poisoned. When your heart is poisoned, the word of God cannot penetrate. The prophetic word cannot take root, cannot grow. Why? Because your heart is poisoned. Some of the diseases of the poisoned heart are, number one, bitterness. Bitterness. Bitterness is when offenses are piled up. There's a stage where offenses are piled up and they result into resentment and then bitterness. And bitterness is one of the diseases of a poisoned heart. Job chapter 21, verse 25. Bitterness can eat you up like worms eat up a person. Job chapter 21. Verse 25. It says, let me read from verse 22. It says, can anyone teach God knowledge since he judges those on high? One dies in his full strength, being wholly at ease and secure. His pails are full of milk, and the marrow of his bones is moist. Another man dies in bitterness of his soul, never having eaten with pleasure. They lie down alike in the dust, and worms cover them. Now, he was talking about two group of people. One of them, and you know, this one is Job, who was talking. And he was just talking about life. This one doesn't mean that's how God sees life. But he was just talking about life. He said that there are some people, the marrow of their bones is moist, which means that they are enjoying their life. Others too live their lives in bitterness. And they can't even eat with pleasure. So bitterness is a disease of the heart. And you see, bitterness is like this. It's like drinking poison and hoping that somebody else dies. Bitterness. It's like drinking poison and then hoping that somebody else dies. Because the person you are bitter against, you are the one, you are doing yourself harm. That person, you are not doing that person any harm. You are doing yourself harm. You are causing yourself great harm. Anytime you see the person, you see that you are worked up. You are angry. I was talking to a man of God. And then he said that in his house where he stays, one young girl insulted him. And this man is an elderly man. One young girl insulted him. He said all of a sudden, he was so angry that his head started aching him. Then he said that he got to a point, he couldn't see anything. He was almost going down. That is what, because our bodies were not created to harbor bitterness. Your heart was not created to harbor bitterness. That is why your body begins to react when you walk in bitterness. When unforgiveness is piled up, offenses, you keep record of people's sin and they are piled up, it becomes bitterness, and that is when it starts eating up your soul, eating up your health, your body. That person is walking about enjoying his life, and you are thinking about the person and what he did to you, and your life is depleting from day to day. In that state, how can your heart receive the word? In that state, how can the word of God concerning your life come to pass? Sometimes we even go to the extent of becoming bitter against God because of something happening in our life. Maybe something that took place in our life and we think that God was to blame. So we become bitter against God. Bitterness. Bitterness. It can be seen in your words. When you are bitter, it will come out of your mouth. Romans 3:14 talks about that. Bitterness can also spread. When a person becomes bitter, he cannot keep his mouth shut. He will start spreading the bitterness. There are two things that defile a church. One is sexual immorality, the other is bitterness. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 15. These two things, they can actually defile other people. Sexual morality and then bitterness. Hebrews 12, 15. Okay, verse 14. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. He's saying that if there's a root of bitterness and it springs up in the church, many people become defiled. The one who is walking in bitterness, he will spread the bitterness. Because for you to know that you are bitter, you will see that you are expressing the thing in your word. You are telling other people, this is what this person did to me. Because you can't contain it. And that is when it starts eating your health. I have a personal experience in bitterness, which I always share. When I was in secondary school, there was this guy who hated me, and I also hated him. In fact, I hated him to the extent that I didn't want to have anything to do with him, not even with somebody bearing his name, even though he was a preacher. So it got to a point, my health was affected. I was just getting sick in and out of school like that. Then my academics was also affected. Because I was so bitter against this guy that I told myself that I will never forgive him. That anywhere I meet him in life, I will settle a score. I have an axe to grind with him. It was so serious. So I started telling people, and somebody also gave me advice. He went home and brought a catapult. And he said that the day of vacation, you know, we have the closing assembly in the evening. Then the following morning, you can go home. So after closing assembly in the evening, the school has come to a close. So you can even go home that night. Then he gave me the catapult and he said, and the guy used to sleep just by the window, the shutters. And then he said, we'll go and then I will use the catapult on the guy, his head. I took it. But I didn't have the boldness to kill. Otherwise, I tell you, if somebody had done it to him, for me, I would have been very happy. But me, I was afraid because maybe I would be caught. And maybe my parents would get to know. But if, let's say, nobody will catch me and nobody will know, I would have done it. Because I was so bitter against the guy. Then when I realized that I was working against myself and my health and my academics were affected, then I confided in somebody. That person helped me out and said that it's a shell, it has to be broken. And prayed for me. Because bitterness develops gradually. The reason why we become bitter is because we are not bold to confront people. Because of shyness, because of fear, the person does something against you, you can't confront the person and tell the person. Then you, instead of you also taking it out of your heart, then you put it at a corner somewhere. Then he does another thing, then you add it to the one that is already there. It gets to a point, your body starts reacting. Bitterness can result into cancer. I have prayed for somebody who was suffering from ulcer, and the Holy Spirit told me that it is bitterness against her mother. Ulcer, stomach ulcer. When I asked her to forgive her mother, and I was about to pray, I didn't even lay hands on her. Then that spirit manifested. That was when I realized that bitterness is something that can result into serious stuff if you don't deal with it. It can poison your heart. So if you are bitter against me, when God wants to bless you through me, you cannot be blessed. If you are bitter against me, even if I come and lay hands on you, nothing will happen to you. It can block access to spiritual things and to good things in your life. Bitterness. Bitterness can punch holes in your covering. When people are under you, a family, a church, school, whatever, and you are somebody who cannot guard your heart, and you allow people's offenses to have a place in your heart, you can open the door for the devil to attack them. I'm going to show you. In the Bible, bitterness is linked to covering. When somebody is over you and you make the person embittered, you are working against your own soul. Let me show you Hebrews first. Then I'll count you. Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 17. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief. Another word for the grief is bitterness, for that will be unprofitable for you. Which means that if somebody is over you like a covering, and the person becomes bitter towards you, there's a hole that is punched in the covering. That is why if you are also over somebody, you must make love covers. Do you know why Bible said husbands should love their wives and wives should submit to their husband? Because love covers. Love has got to do with covering. When there's bitterness, there's a hole that is punched in the covering. So the Bible advises husbands not to be bitter against their wives. But the Bible never tells wives not to be bitter against their husbands. Why? Because when a wife is bitter against her husband, nothing happens to the covering. But when the husband is bitter against the wife, the covering with the wife is punched. Colossians chapter 4. So bitterness is the problems of those in authority. Colossians chapter 18. Wives, submit to your own husbands as it is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter towards them. Why? Because bitterness affects covering. The same way when your pastor becomes bitter towards you, it affects your covering. It punches hole. Bitterness. Proverbs 14 verse 10. Proverbs 14 verse 10. The heart knows its own bitterness. and a stranger does not share his joy. We should always be mindful of this, lest we get to a point where our hearts cannot bless people. When your heart is close to somebody that you have the capacity to bless, the person cannot be blessed. And when your heart is close to somebody that you can also bless, you will not release the blessing. That is why there are many people in ministry who suffer because the way they left their senior pastor was not the best. Some of them will leave their church, their senior pastor, they will criticize him, they will spread false information about him. Then the man gets to hear and he can't control himself and becomes bitter. Anytime, you see, it's not only senior pastors. Even somebody you have wronged can become bitter, and that will prevent God from releasing his full blessing. Somebody who is weak, somebody you are stronger than. Let's say you go to the market, you meet a kayayo, paupa, then you heap all these things on her. Then she charges you maybe one CD. Because she's weak and she cannot defend herself, you maltreat her. And then you even rob her. Bible says she will cry to God in the bitterness of her soul, and God will hear. Or you have workers. James says that somebody has done a work for you. You have the power to pay the person, but you withhold the person's pay. When you read James 5, it says they will cry out to God against you, and God will hear. Listen to them. Or an orphan, or anybody that is weak, you must use your strength to protect the weak, not to take advantage of the weak. The beauty of agape is that you use your strength, and you use your strength to protect the weak. Agape uses his strength to protect the weak, uses his riches to protect the poor. That is agape. We don't take advantage of people who are weak. Jesus Christ saw us in our weakness. The Bible says, when we were without strength, Christ died for us. He didn't push us further into our weakness. He came to die for us. When we were without strength, we were weak. That is agape. Otherwise, people will release bitter cry against you. There are many people walking about. The bitter cry has been released against them. You cheat somebody. You maltreat somebody. You trample on somebody with impunity. The person will cry to God, and the cry of the person will be working against you. So let us make allowance for people's mistakes. Anytime you're working with somebody, you must tell yourself, this brother, this sister that I love so much, this brother that I love so much, he's the same person that can cause me pain. Make allowance in your heart. The same people who are good, that you love, that they love you, they are the same people that can cause you pain. And if you don't take care, you may think that something strange is happening. That is life. That is why, listen, when a person dies, the first suspect is the wife or husband. When a person dies, they will go straight to the wife, because they believe that that is where your greatest love is, and that is where your greatest hatred can also come from. If you know that those I'm working with, I can step on their toes, they can step on my toes, make allowance for their mistakes. Number two, one of the diseases of a poison heart is worry. Worry is when you dwell about the past. You dwell on the past or on the present. That is worry. And anxiety is when you dwell on the future. When you are afraid for the future, you are becoming anxious. Worry is also a disease of the heart. You see, all these diseases, they also result into physical diseases. There are many mental patients who became mental patients because of worry. They were maybe betrayed by somebody, and it's all matters of the heart. And because of that, maybe they have been let down or something. They will think and think and think and worry and worry. Then it affects their mental state. One day, somebody who is a gym instructor, I was conversing with him. Then he said, "Joe, sometimes you people, you are preachers and all that, but sometimes you don't really understand certain things the Bible says unless you come to some of us who are in the sports field." He said, "Whenever you become anxious or you become worried, adrenaline is released to fight that terror that is coming. Because your body thinks that maybe you see in the olden days, maybe you will see a lion. And adrenaline will be released so that either you fight the lion or you can run. So whenever you get worked up, adrenaline is released. Because your body thinks that maybe you have seen a lion or you have seen a terror and you need adrenaline to fight it. But realize that you don't use adrenaline for anything. So it sits in your organs and begins to work against you." Then he said, "People get hypertension, people get diabetes, heart disease, heart attack, all because of worry and anxiety." Then he told me, that's what the Bible says, be anxious for nothing. Then he said, "Have you seen that you are a pastor, but you don't know why the Bible says be anxious for nothing?" He said, "It's because when you are anxious, your body produces adrenaline. And you don't use it to fight or to run, you know, or to climb any wall. So it sits and then it starts working against your internal organs. So worry and anxiety, worry is dwelling on the past. The thing is past. You can't do anything about it. But you are thinking about it, you are worrying about it. A time comes where you must close the door. You must decide, today, I've closed this door. I'm not going to go back to this issue again. It's over. I've closed the door." If you don't close the door, you open the door, you will dwell on it. By the time you realize, it has affected your physical heart. You will see that you are developing hypertension. Hypertension is simply hypertension. The tension is hyper. You will see all the diseases because you are dwelling. Listen, life is not smooth. I wish life was straightforward. The little life that I've experienced, I've seen that life is not straightforward. Life is crooked. It's up and down. But that is why we have the Bible for comfort. We have the Holy Ghost for comfort. He said, "I will give you another comforter." So in times of distress, in times of great anguish, we turn to the comforter. And you say, "Holy Ghost, give me comfort." And he can give you first class comfort. Sometimes, you see, Jesus Christ, he said, "Which of you can add one cubit to his height by worrying?" There are certain things we worry about, you can never change it. Worry about your height, worry about the way you look, worry about where you come from. Worry about those things are irrelevant because you can't change them. So why do you dwell on them? When you are thinking about things you can change, you are thinking. When you are thinking about things you can't change, you are worrying. The thing is past. The person has done the thing already. So close the door at one point and move on with your life. Don't dwell there. You see, when you dwell there, that is where you allow the devil room into your life. Because you are dwelling in a place where you should have gone ahead of that place long ago. There are some people in their lives, they will come to, they put a full stop in their life, at a place in their life. So right from that point, they stop growing. Yes, they may grow physically, but some are still at the same level emotionally, spiritually, psychologically, because they put a full stop, because they got to a place in their life and they were met with something that was traumatic. And they put a whole on their life and they are not growing in their lives. They have closed the door to the growth in their life. Some also met exclamation mark. You know the exclamation mark? That indicates something that was very serious in their life. Because of that, they stopped growing. But somebody said, he said, when the devil puts a full stop, he said, God will put a comma so that it becomes a semicolon. People have sayings. So that becomes a semicolon. You know, so we should not close, we should not close the door of our life, you know, because of certain things that, because your life is going to be full of ups and downs. That one, factor it into your thinking. Don't think that, no, everybody is going to suffer small. Everybody, you go through certain stuff in life. It's part of life. Whether you like it or not, whether you are anointed or you are not anointed, you go through stuff. It's part of life. Even Jesus went through stuff. He went through stuff. Jesus was once denied a visa to enter Samaria. They bounced you to they denied you visa to UK, and yeah, your life has come to an end. He was denied a visa. He was rejected. In fact, he was maltreated. But that is life. We are all not on the same path of destiny. Everybody and the pipes he will go through before he comes out as a finished product. Your pipes are different from my pipes. Don't compare your pipes to my pipes. Because what I'm going through is different from what you are going through. So focus on your life and don't allow things to bump you down. Move on. Hallelujah. Because anxiety will always bring fear. Because you are fearful of the future. You don't know what is going to happen in the future. So what is going to happen to my life? Am I going to get somebody to marry me? Am I going to get somebody to marry? Hello? Is somebody in the house? Yes, I'm preaching. I said, that is anxiety. Anxiety. Somebody sent me a message and said, do you think anybody will marry me? A guy, not a lady. Then I said, why do you think nobody will marry you? Yeah, people are anxious for many things. People, sometimes you sit down and you think about your life and you see this bleak picture, this dark picture, this hopeless picture of your life, that my life is going to be like this. That is what you want. That's not God's plan for your life. That's the devil painting a picture of your life. When the devil paints a picture, you must paint a picture with a word. I know the thoughts I think towards you. Thoughts of good and not evil, to give you a hope and a future. That is God's plan for my life. I refuse to allow the enemy to paint a negative picture of my life. I refuse to allow Satan to paint a bleak picture of my life. I will get a job. Who says I will get a job? I will get a job. I will get married. I will enjoy married life. My marriage will not fall. My marriage will flourish. Don't fear. Don't fear for the future. Paint a different picture from what you are seeing. Make what you are seeing from your family, from your parents. Paint a different picture. That is why God called you. He has called you out of families, out of race, out of tribes, out of tongues and nations. And he has made you a king and a priest unto his God. So don't think you are going to repeat the circumstances of your family. The fact that it happened to somebody in the family doesn't mean it happened to you. Don't think like that. Dream from the Bible. There are many Christians who are living their lives in fear. Some of them, because of certain dreams they had, they are living their life. For God's sake, if you have a dream and it's bad, cancel it. Don't sit down waiting for a dream to happen. Cancel it. Hallelujah. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. He said, take no thought of your life. Now, it doesn't mean don't plan. But he said, take no thought. Don't be worried. He said, when the time comes, it will take care of itself. Don't be worried. I was telling somebody, I said, look at me. You know my age. I can tell you certain things I don't even have. I won't tell you. Certain things I don't have. I don't have to my name. But I don't sit and worry about it. I have life. By the grace of God, I have a good marriage. I have a great family. So why should I allow what I don't have to prevent me from enjoying what I have? Sometimes what you don't have, you allow it to prevent you, from enjoying what you have. To the extent that don't even know what you have. Of all the trees in the garden, the only one I'm talking about is the one God has prevented you from eating. The one that God said don't eat. That's the only one you are thinking about. What about the rest that you can eat? That is anxiety. What am I going to wear? What am I going to wear? Where am I going to sleep? He said, is the body not better, not more valuable than food or shelter? And he said, if God takes care of the sparrows of the air, he takes care of them. Why can't God take care of your life? He said, oh, you of little faith, God can clothe the flowers who are here today and tomorrow they are gone. The flowers, their lives are transient. They are temporary. God can take care of them. Can God take care of you? One day, the Holy Spirit said, he said, look, if righteousness can exalt a nation, it can exalt you as an individual. He said, if I can exalt a whole nation, can't I exalt an individual? Your life is too small for God. It's too small. What God is thinking about is bigger than your life. So don't think that your life is a burden to God. Your life is not even up to one if it's gram or kilogram in the sight of God. He can manage your life. He can handle your life. Don't allow issues of life to make you, to squeeze you into a certain mode. You see, we are going to pray. Because this one had a dream. In a dream, I saw a student of St. Louis Senior High. And she had fallen, she threw herself down from the, I've forgotten the, I didn't see the number of, well, that is two story, but it was from a high height. She threw herself down and fell down. Then in the same school, people were dying and all that. And I believe that it's a spirit of suicide, of frustration. People are getting frustrated in life. And the enemy is taking advantage of that, trying to release suicide, even among Christians. Pastors have committed suicide before. Pastors who commit suicide. Maybe you don't hear of them, but I know pastors who died, and they died through suicide. They took their lives. But Peter said, beloved, don't think it's strange. The fiery temptation that is trying you. He said, don't look at it as strange. He said, in this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Anxiety. Let me finish. Okay. Pain is also one of the diseases of a poison heart. Pain. Now, let me run quickly. Our time is up. Now, how do you decorate your heart? What you dwell on constantly is what gets into your heart. So Bible says, if there is any virtue, if there is any praise, think on these things. He said, beloved, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are kind, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is any praise, think on these things. What you dwell on is what enters your heart. Meditate on God's word. Pray on them. Pray certain virtues into your heart. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, patience, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, all that. Pray those virtues into your heart. Pray patience into your heart. Long suffering into your heart. Pray peace into your heart. Then learn to forgive. Learn to forgive. Make allowance for people's mistakes. Maintain a tender conscience. A tender conscience. Don't disturb the peace in your heart. Follow the peace in your heart. Anything you don't feel peace about, don't do it. If you don't feel peace about it, let it go. Don't do it. That is how you maintain a tender conscience. Acknowledge your mistakes quickly and confess them. That was different between David and Saul. Nathan said, "You are the man." David said, "Forgive me, Lord, I've sinned." He was quick to acknowledge his mistakes. Saul was somebody who was proud. Even when he sinned, he told Samuel, "I know, but for the sake of those here, please, let us not talk about this here. Let's go inside." But David said, "I've sinned." That is a tender conscience. Then, number four, soak in the word of God. Soak in the word of God. All these were chosen from Colossians 3, 12 to 17. I'm just giving you so that when you go, you can read Colossians 3, 12 to 17. Soak in the word. Expose yourself to the word of God in various forms. Preaching, CDs, the Bible. Whatever means, expose yourself to the word of God. Open your spirit to the word. Let the word be talking to you all the time. Expose yourself. List all the virtues and pray them into your life. Jude verse 20. He said, "But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love and the mercy of God." So you build up yourself on your most holy faith by praying the Holy Ghost. Bible says that when you pray in the Spirit, you edify yourself. Edify means you build. Edify, it comes from the word edifice, which means a structure, a building. So the more you pray in tongues, and then you pray all these virtues in your life, the Holy Spirit is building them into your life. He's building patience, he's building meekness, he's building humility, he's building mercy, he's building long-suffering, he's building all those virtues. List them. Go to Galatians 5:22. List them. Then begin to pray them into your life. The more you pray them into your life, you will see that you are changing. He said, "But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding him as in a mirror, the glory of God, we are transformed into the same image as by the Spirit of the Lord." So you must behold him. And that comes Psalm 27 verse 14. He said, "Wait on the Lord and he will strengthen your heart." Wait on the Lord and he will strengthen. God is the one who can strengthen your heart. In times of pain, don't turn to man, turn to God. When you are in pain, turn to God. Go to your closet and cry before God. Expose it to God before you expose it to man. Tell God, "Heal me." There are certain things we must go to God and say, "Heal me. Help me, Lord. Help me. This thing is eating me up. Help me. I'm getting jealous of this brother, this sister. Please help me, Holy Spirit. Help me. I'm getting jealous. I've seen how God is blessing them. And I'm sorry to say, I'm getting jealous. Holy Spirit, help me." I think I'll pray. I can't pray. You can pray. And the Holy Spirit will help you. Nobody will know. He will help you. "I'm dwelling on this thing so much it's affecting me. Help me, Holy Spirit." He's a person. You have to pray personal prayers to him. "Holy Spirit, help me with this. I can't. Help me." And he will help you. Lust is trying to fight me. Help me. He will help you. Whenever you are going through pain, go to God first. Whenever you are going through heart diseases, go to God first. Let's be on our feet. We are going to pray. we are taking our hearts before God. Lord, I give you my heart. Take my heart. Work on my heart. Touch my heart, oh God. Change my heart, oh God. Release grace into my heart. Strengthen my heart. Whatever you want God to do to your heart, begin to pray to Him. Open your mouth and begin to pray. Yes, Lord. We give you our hearts, oh God. Take our hearts. Take our hearts, oh God. Cleanse our hearts. Purify our hearts. Inject grace into our hearts. Strengthen our hearts, oh God. Purge our hearts, oh God. Libro no shibra hakalabahas. Mando roboko taya lihasa. Lo zibro kotahara. Mandi brakatayando shikete. Lubahanda ya gudiata sukehete. Manduli bihanda. Shaka bahatu. Ibalango si itaha. O yanabahadi jokorogosi. O brahatana babudrihandiskete. Lubro no shibro hote kastaha. Ripati ala hatu kisihi. Lidro boho shi ikadaha. Mandi droko si ikah. Do a work in our hearts, O God. Do a work in our hearts, O God. A work that will leave an indelible mark, O God. A work that will leave an indelible mark, O God. Oh, yes, Lord. Let your word be engraven on the tablet of our hearts, O God. Ibro shikrahataha. Mandoroboko shikitaha. Goliya darabaha shukrihete. We are praying this prayer. You are asking God, go to my timeline. My timeline. Let the Holy Ghost start a process of dealing with issues in my timeline. Right from the time I was in the womb. Even before then. Whatever issues need to be dealt with. Let the Holy Ghost enter my timeline and begin to deal with issues. Issues that will rear their heads in my future. Issues that will fight against God's destiny for my life. Let those issues be revealed. Let the Holy Ghost bring them up. Let Him reveal them that they may be dealt with. He grows shukaha. Mandoro bohosi. Mitro paha. Lo sikahanda. Lo si prohoto. Mandi brakatu. Ipahataya.
Heal our hearts, O God. Deal with issues, O God. Expose those issues, O God. Expose them, O God. Give us strategies, O God. Show us to deal with them, O God. He brought to Shibrohan. Mandoro Boko Shibraha. He Kropo Toto Hoshi. He Mandi Takalahandas. In the name of Jesus, we are praying this prayer. We are praying for students, and we are praying for St. Louis near High. We want to use them as point of contact to reach all young people. That we don't want to hear issues of people dying, premature death, suicide, and all that. And the issue is that I drew my sword this morning. I was in an auditorium, and I wanted to get out and go and pray for that lady. But they had locked the door. The school authorities had locked the door. And they were saying that nobody is allowed to go out. And what the Lord was showing me was that we also need to pray and come against these blockades and these gates that have been erected against the gospel in various schools. That they don't allow the gospel to be preached in certain schools. And so many things are taking root in the schools. We are praying, coming against the spirit of death. In St. Louis Senior High and in all senior high schools, the spirit of suicide, premature death, we are coming against them. In the name of Jesus, we take authority over the atmosphere. Every spirit of suicide, spirit of premature death, release against students of St. Louis.
released against SHS students, against JHS students. We come against that spirit. We arrest that spirit. In the name of Jesus, we command your works to be destroyed. In Jesus' name, we stop you in your tracks. In the name of Jesus, we destroy your strongholds. In Jesus' name, we command your hold to be broken. In the name of Jesus, we dismantle their systems. In Jesus' name, we frustrate their tokens. In the name of Jesus, we declare that you will not have root in our schools. In Jesus' name, we banish suicide from our primary schools, from our junior high schools, from our senior high schools. In the name of Jesus, we come against frustration. We come against suicide. We come against premature death. In Jesus' name, we release life. 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 In the name of Jesus, we release life. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Ipro Shokaha, Matoro Bohosuke, Ikatayaluse, Matu Prahata, Liprokoko. Let the Christians on the various campuses become ambassadors of life. Let them become ambassadors of life. Wherever the soul of their feet will tread, let it release life. Let it banish death. Let it release life. Let it abolish death. Let it release life. In the name of Jesus, wherever they will stand, let life invade. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hiprosutaha. Mandoroboko Sikaha. Ibrato Surahanda. Ikoloko Sika. In the name of Jesus. We are praying this last but one prayer. We are praying. We are coming against every opposition. Any opposition, occultic opposition in secondary schools, in JHS, anybody who is representing any occultic group that has vowed that Christianity will not prevail in secondary school, primary school, tertiary institution, we are releasing the judgment of God. We are clearing them from the system. In the name of Jesus, we command them to be cleared from the system. In Jesus' name, every blockade, give way now. In the name of Jesus, every gate that has been raised up against the advancement of the gospel in our primary school, in our junior high schools, in our senior high schools, in our tertiary institution, we break through that gate. In the name of Jesus, we break through those gates. We bring them down. In Jesus' name, we possess the gate and we bring them down. In the name of Jesus, we bring them down. In Jesus' name, we declare the word of God, the gospel, will have free course into primary schools, into junior high schools, into senior high schools, into tertiary institutions. The gospel will have free course in the name of Jesus. Any edit, any legislation, anything that is being put to prevent the gospel, we quash it. We quash it. We quash it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We are praying the last prayer. We are praying for Ghana. We are establishing the throne of God. From the month of July, this nation will experience some kind of peace and calmness. And I'm telling you that this election is going to be one of the most peaceful. Because we are praying and we are speaking to the atmosphere and we are establishing the throne of God on this nation, that let there be peace, let there be calmness, let there be stillness. Let's begin to pray. In the name of Jesus, we release peace. We release peace on this nation. In the name of Jesus, Ghana will not die. Ghana will live. Ghana will live. Revival is coming to Ghana. Revival is coming to Ghana. Nothing will stop it. This city will live. Revival is coming to this city. Nothing will stop it. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The act of God has been brought to this city. And revival is coming. And nothing will stop it. In Jesus' name, we come against instability. 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 Political instability. We come against it. In the name of Jesus, we release peace on our borders. Peace. 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 Libra Hando Shiketa. Mandorobo Kosika. Ghana will not die. Ghana will live. Ghana will live. God has a plan for Ghana. God has a purpose for Ghana. God has already said, Ghana is my pulpit to the world. God has said, Ghana is my jewel. And I'm going to release a spirit of prosperity because of the apostolic authority that Ghana has. God is saying that He's releasing prosperity because of the apostolic commission that Ghana has. Ghana is God's pulpit. This country will not die. The destiny of this nation is not in the hands of politicians. It's in the hands of the saints. It's time to take over. Whatever we decree, that is what will happen. If we want peace, peace will be established. If we want calmness, it will be established. Because the destiny of the nation has been shifted from the politicians to the saints. And we are in charge now. And we decree to the atmosphere that this nation will not die. This nation will live. Ghana will live. Ghana will live. Ghana will experience prosperity. Ghana will experience revival. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Libra Hando Shikaha. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We bless you, Lord. We thank you for how you have visited us. We pray, O God, let your mighty hand come down. Let your mighty hand prevail for us. In the name of Jesus. Work on our hearts, O God. Work on our heart. Establish our heart with grace. Establish our heart blameless holiness in love. We pray, O God, let our heart be filled with the Holy Spirit, with your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray for our in schools. We pray for St. Louis, and we use them as a point of contact, reaching other schools, JHS, primary, JHS, SHS. We pray that, Lord, let your mighty hand prevail over these schools. In the name of Jesus, have preeminence. In Jesus' name, we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated.